going on in my mind. I got a lot stirring around in my spirit. But God is good, amen? We can decide that we're going to take whatever comes to us during the weekend, and we can either let it wound us, or we can learn something from it.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to stand before you that all broken and beat up.
Come on.
I'm going to stand before you with some wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
Today I want to talk to you about a season of wisdom. We read from Proverbs. I'm going to read to you from the Amplified Bible. Beginning at verse 13, it says, "Happy, blessed, considered fortunate to be admired is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom. For the man who gains understanding and insight, learning from God's word and life experiences. For wisdom's profit is better than that profit of silver, and her gain is better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies," talking about wisdom, "and nothing you can wish for compares with her in value. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are highways of pleasantness and favor, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy, blessed, considered fortunate to be admired is everyone who holds her tightly." Amen. Talking about wisdom. Eternal God, our Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for another time, an opportunity to just sit and share your word. God, as we go forward this afternoon, I ask that you would shrink me down so that you may be raised up. Hide me behind the cross. And it's nothing that I've got to say, God, but it's all about you. So right now, God, it's all about you. Use us and let this time be a time of reflection that we be better and leave here better than when we came. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, God, let it be acceptable in your sight. You are my strength and you are my redeemer. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Say amen.
Amen.
The natural seasons we know are winter, spring, summer, and fall. But we have spiritual seasons in our lives as well. Amen. And I want us to think about what it means to be wise, so we can live in a season of wisdom. We just read that joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding, for wisdom is more profitable than silver. And the wages, the payment of having wisdom is better than gold. It sounds like a wonderful thing to have. Broadly speaking, we know that there are two types of wisdom that we experience in our daily lives: worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. Are you with me? The dictionary defines wisdom in this way: the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The quality of being wise. It says the fact of being based on sensible or wise thinking. A body of knowledge and experience that develops within a specified society or period. In the biblical sense, wisdom is the ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding. There is wisdom in understanding the consequences of our actions and words before we act or before we speak. No one said a word. Wisdom is understanding that there are consequences to our actions. And words, there are consequences to our actions and our words before we need to get onto that before we act or before we speak.
Amen.
Have you ever met someone who is always in trouble? Have you ever met someone who is always in conflict? Have you ever met someone that when you see them coming, you know it's going to be a fight? There's no wisdom in that, is there? Let me ask a question to you today. Are you living in a season of worldly wisdom, or are we living in a season of godly wisdom? Well, there's one. Are you living in a season of worldly wisdom, or are you living in a season of godly wisdom? There's two. Worldly is following the popular opinion of the world.
Well,
right? The world tells you that, the wisdom that the world tells you that everything is okay. The world's wisdom tells you that what you do is your business. The world's wisdom tells you that your actions don't have anything to do with anybody else. That's worldly wisdom. As long as you do your best, it's already all right, and you're going to heaven anyhow. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go anywhere anyhow. Godly wisdom is following the precepts and commands of God. Wisdom that tells you everything ain't all right. Right? Wisdom that tells you what you do does matter to God. What you do is also other people's business. It tells you that your actions do affect other folks around you. Uh-huh. Wisdom from God tells you that your best will not get you to heaven.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Some of our choices, some of your choices, my choices, opinions, and actions, are they based on what the world thinks, or are they based on what God thinks? But sometimes we mess that up, don't we?
Yeah.
Tell the truth. As disciples of Jesus, we need to understand that we cannot be both worldly and godly. They just don't mix. You're either hot or you're either cold.
Yeah.
If you're hot, we know exactly what to expect from you. We know exactly what you're going to do. We know exactly what you're going to say. We know exactly how you're going to serve.
Yeah.
Even if you're cold, we know exactly what you're not going to do. We know what you're not going to say. We know where you're not going to serve. But when you're lukewarm, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to come out of your mouth. We don't know when you're going to serve.
Yeah.
Inconsistent.
Yeah.
We were watching a movie called The War Room. Nobody likes warm coffee, right?
That's right.
You either like your coffee hot or cold.
Yeah.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
No use to the building of God's kingdom if you're lukewarm.
Well,
amen, somebody.
Amen.
James 4:4 warns us, do you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? See, if you want to be a friend of the world, you have to be content with the decision that if I'm going to be a friend of the world, that I'm going to be an enemy of God. I didn't say it, the Bible says it. If we embrace modern liberal thinking of the world, if we accept things that are against the will of God, then we're turning our back to the truth and to the wisdom of God. If we embrace modern thinking, if we accept things that are against the will, we begin to separate. What did I preach last week? Separation from God brings what? Compromise. John, 1 John 2:15 and 17 also warns us, don't love the world, nor the things that it offers you. For when you love the world, you don't have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything that we see, and pride in our achievements and our possessions. And these are not from the Father, but they are from the world. And the world is fading away, along with everything and the people that crave. But everyone who does what pleases God will live forever. So what season is it that you're living in today? See, it says that these things are from the world, but the world is fading away. See, we have a misconception that we have enough time to get everything done. We have a misconception that we have enough time to get it right before we come to the altar. We have a misconception that we have enough time that we can work things out before we come and give our lives to Christ. That's a lie. You don't have enough time. You ought to come right now. Are you living in a season of worldly wisdom or godly? And can you easily answer the question? If someone were to come to you and say, worldly or godly, would you have to think about it? Would you be able to answer and look them straight in the eye? Would you have to duck and dodge and bob and weave?
Come on.
Come on now. Godly wisdom is demonstrated in our lives when we seek to follow God's will and his purpose for our lives. See, the Bible tells us that if you're within his will and you're godly, that your steps are ordered.
Uh-huh.
And when God orders your steps, you cannot misstep. If your life isn't right and your relationships aren't right, then you're not within the will, because God orders your steps.
Yes.
So get right.
Get right.
And get right doesn't happen overnight. Uh-huh. It's a conscious decision that I'm going to change my life.
Yeah.
It's a conscious decision that I'm going to come to the altar and I'm just going to say, you know what, here I am, use me.
Yes, God.
It doesn't mean that you're going to leave here and everything is going to be all right.
That's right.
The Bible says a man born of a woman have but a few days, and those few days are full of what?
Trouble.
All right then. But you may as well come and have trouble with the rest of us. When we live according to the commandments and precepts of God, we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Do you remember? Do you remember, Pastor Dawn, when church was sanctified?
Well,
when folks, when ladies covered their knees and you couldn't read credit card numbers in the back of men's pants? Do you remember when church was sanctified and folks used to just sing and shout and play until they would cry? And we used to sing a song that said, "Lead me and guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray." And if you keep singing, it says, "Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me." But as we go through life, we discover we're not always making wise and intelligent decisions. We simply did what we thought was best. Or maybe we listened to somebody who didn't have the best advice. Amen. Humanly speaking, there have been times in each of our lives when we have failed to follow God's wisdom. I'm going to ask you something. Do you believe in God? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do you believe in God? Yes or no?
Yes.
You ought to shout yes.
Yes.
Then if you believe in God, then you have to take the Bible. Come on now. If you believe in God, then you have to believe the Bible. Am I right about it? And the Bible is the Word of God. It is Holy Spirit inspired. It is the wisdom of God. And the best wisdom to help us through our lives and trials and tribulations is in the Word. The Bible is a guide to every season of our lives. What season are you in? Is it a season of godly wisdom? There are times when through prayer God will reveal his purpose and his plan. And then there's times when it's right and appropriate for us to seek counsel of other Christians.
Right.
Yeah.
Wherever the wisdom comes from, listen to this. And however much we trust the person that's giving it to us, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, if it doesn't line up to the Word of God, then it is not godly wisdom.
Amen.
When we follow godly wisdom, we're in harmony with God. And we'll live according to his will. And when we live according to his will, I just said it, he'll order our steps.
Yeah.
And when he orders our steps, we know right where we're going. Amen?
Amen.
So you've got to run on and see what the end is going to be. We talked about it this morning. We all have a race to run.
Yeah.
But you have to focus on Jesus Christ. There are many examples of wisdom, of the wisdom of God throughout even the Old Testament. The words of wisdom and wise were words applied to men and women who represented a certain way of thinking, but also orderly conduct. People who were socially sensitive, but morally upright. King Solomon gave God's wisdom. He was given wisdom from God. King Solomon. Y'all know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And he gave them insight on how to deal with the problems that life had. The wisdom recorded in the Old Testament provides God people with a code of moral conduct and a way that we should behave in our personal lives. Come on. The book of Job, Ecclesiastes, and Proverbs are also known as books of wisdom.
Yes.
And a few Psalms also, if you're taking note, write down. The wisdom Psalms are 137, 49, 73, 112, 127, and 128.
That's
y'all
right.
Got something to read this week. The revealed wisdom of God still speaks to us today about the problems that we have in this life. But it also speaks to us about the meaning of life. Practical wisdom to help us in every season of our lives. Help us to live with integrity. Help us to live with purity. And helps us with our relationships with other people. In the New Testament, there are also references to wisdom, especially the wisdom of Jesus. In the Old Testament, King Solomon was the wisest who ever lived, right?
Yes.
But yet Solomon's wisdom doesn't even compare to that of Jesus. Am I talking right? If Jesus is God, there is no greater wisdom than that which would come from God himself.
Amen.
Jesus was speaking to the crowds in the book of Luke, in the chapter 11th chapter, and he said of himself, "Now someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen." Jesus said, someone who is greater and more wise than Solomon is here in your presence. but you refuse to listen. Wow. Are we like, we're like that, aren't we? Somebody tell you don't walk around that corner, because you go around that corner, there's a hole, and you're going to fall in that hole, and you're not going to be able to get out. You should take that advice, but don't you? We know it all. We say, I'm going to walk around that corner, I'm going to fall in that hole, and you fall in the hole. Luke chapter 2, verse 40 tells us that Jesus was filled with wisdom. But if you go back to Mark, even Jesus as a child was said to be full of wisdom and power by those who heard him. But Luke tells us all, and it says that Jesus grew in wisdom, and he grew in stature, and he grew in favor with God and all the people. See, he was wise. He was smart. So if you're wise and you're smart and grow in wisdom, you will grow in stature. Yeah. Nobody likes to do business with somebody forgiving who's dumb. Right? Mm-hmm. So get you some wisdom and you'll get some respect. Amen. You will grow in stature. People will seek your counsel. They will want to know what is your opinion on certain things. But you've got to have godly wisdom. Amen. In Luke 21, Jesus told the disciples, when the persecution begins to grow, I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to refute you. See, if you get close to God, when all hell breaks loose, he's going to give you a word that's so strong and powerful that you don't have to say anything much more than what God gives you. And all the people that are running their mouths, they won't be able to say nothing. Empty wagons make a lot of noise bouncing down the sidewalk, don't they? In Matthew 13, Jesus was returning to his hometown of Nazareth. And when he taught in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and asked, where does he get the wisdom from?
Well,
and how can he do these miracles? I'm all through this, all through the New Testament. Revelation 5 and 12 says that Jesus, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor, glory, and blessing. But the blood had to be shed. Think for a moment about the wisdom Jesus shared when he addressed the crowds on the Sermon on the Mount. God is a source of wisdom for every season in our lives. And I'm just really about done. The Apostle Paul also spoke about wisdom. I like Paul. Because see, Paul was a persecutor of the church, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Won't God turn you around? Won't he turn you around? I mean, he had to get with him, though.
Uh-huh.
See, some of us, we came out and we shouted hallelujah when we came out of her mom. I wasn't one of them. God had to get with me.
Uh-huh.
He had to get with me. He had to put me down. And when he put me down, then that's when I finally listened. Because sometimes, you know, we're so busy thinking and following worldly wisdom and following the crowd that we're not listening to what God has to say to us. And if he's got a job for you to do, he's going to pluck you from the crowd.
Right.
Amen, Walls. Apostle Paul spoke about wisdom. He compared the wisdom of men with the wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians. And he wrote, when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. Paul also wrote, but to those called to God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And again, he said, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wise and wisdom himself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. In the Epistle of James, it incorporates wisdom and a practical advice for Christian living. James speaks about applying spiritual truth in our lives daily and contrasts the foolish wisdom of the world with godly wisdom from above. So where is your wisdom coming from? James 3, write this down, because you can reference this during the read. James 3, 13 and 18. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says. If you're wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there's a selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. What does that mean? If you're going to live right, do it. Prove it. If you're not, the word wise in Greek is sophros. It refers to the ability to skillfully apply knowledge. The truth is a person can have vast amounts of knowledge yet lack wisdom. You can be book smart but can't hold a conversation. You can have a doctorate but can't keep a wife. Hey, you can have all the education that there is to have, but you can't have interpersonal relationships with people. Godly wisdom is demonstrated in a life that is surrendered to God. Here I am. Use me. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to preach, I'll preach. Wherever you want me to play, I'll play. Whatever you want me to sing, I'll sing. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. However you want me to serve, I'll serve. Here I am. God, use me.
Yeah.
Your life has to be a service and a sacrifice to God. He gave his life. You can give 2 hours on Sunday.
Yeah.
Come on.
He gave his life. You can go into the church house and play a drum.
Yeah.
He gave his life. You can come in and serve communion. You can come into the house and sweep the floor.
Yeah.
He gave his life.
Hallelujah.
And our life should be a surrender to God.
Amen.
To be a Christian is more than saying we're a Christian. We should prove it by how we live. As disciples of Jesus, whatever season of life we're in, we're to be controlled, not contentious in how we live. Now, I'm not saying that we always get it right. I'm not saying that we always respond correctly to people. Don't we have to go back and apologize to folks? Don't we have to go back and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that to come out like that? Being a Christian doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it means that you have enough sense and enough wisdom that when you jack something up, that you can go back to that person and say that I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They don't have to be a Christian. Sometimes you can draw people to Christ just by your actions.
Yes, amen.
For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. They're earthly and they're unspiritual. Wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder. Come on now. If somebody can play a drum better than you, then let them play. Don't get selfish and cause disorder.
All right.
I don't like disorderly mess. God is a good God and he is an orderly God, right? He didn't die and hang on Calvary's cross and shed his blood for the church to be messy.
Yeah. That's right.
Our motive for wisdom is spiritual, not selfish ambition or pride. Listen, I may have done all right for myself down here, but you know what? When I leave here, it's going to stay right here.
Yeah.
My brother, God bless him, he's going to drive my car. He's going to run it out of gas. I know he won't wash it. When the inspection run out, he's going to put it on Facebook and sell it to the lowest bidder. My house, which I love so much, they're going to take everything that's valuable out of it and just sell it to the first person that comes along. My stuff here is not, it's just physical stuff. My reward is in heaven.
Yeah.
Ain't no sense for me to be proud of this mess. Because when I die, I'm going to leave it right here.
That's right.
Y'all going to fight over my money. They're going to fight over that seat. They're going to fight over everything. And I'm just going to be basking in the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What are you focused on today? But the wisdom from above is pure. It's peace, loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. Sometimes. You just have to yield to other folks. It doesn't mean you agree with them.
Yeah.
It just means, you know what, I love you. And I'm going to pray for you over here. Because I have to maintain my own sanity. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism. And it's always sincere. James explained to us that God, what God's wisdom really is, what it looks like, and what our lives should contain if we're living in a season of wisdom. It should be pure. You should try your best to be peaceful. You should try your best to be gentle. You should yield sometimes to folks. You've got to be merciful. Sometimes you just got to let folks apologize to you. You just got to accept it and move on. Sometimes we have to show mercy. God showed us mercy. So what gives us the right to not show and extend mercy to somebody else? Are these traits evident in your life? Are they evident in my life? Being peaceful, though, doesn't mean being a pushover. Y'all don't twist it up.
Amen.
If you know me, you know where I'm coming from. Peaceful doesn't mean being a pushover. Come up in my house with just anything. Right? I keep a peace. Don't come up. You'll meet me. Be peaceful is a demonstrating willingness to strive at peace. Remaining calm under pressure is remaining calm under stress and letting go of anxiety. That was for me. Two heart attacks in 2 years. I need to let go of some anxiety. Amen? We got to be gentle. We have to be self-controlled. And we have to be patient. That was for me too. Willing to yield. That means a willingness to listen to all sides. And a willingness to do what is right. It means having a teachable spirit. See, listening to all sides doesn't mean accepting the foolishness that may be coming out of someone's mouth. Listening to all sides means I'm going to listen to you. But if you're not side of the will, I'm going to correct you. Why? Because I love you.
Right.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
When people stop talking to you, that's when you should be concerned. When folks are talking to you and trying to tell you about yourself, you ought to listen to that. When they stop talking, you need to really pay attention. In every season of life, there are traits that should be evident in our lives. Our conduct as disciples of Jesus is meant to be this way. For us to truly live in a season of godly wisdom, we have to demonstrate these traits in our daily lives, in our conversation, and in our conduct. Friends who are truly wise are empowered with godly wisdom. If we live in a season of wisdom, and there's a wonderful result. Verse 18 says, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. See, it's good to plant stuff, but you don't plant stuff without an expectation of a harvest.
That's right.
Right? Amen. Farmers don't plant all that stuff, and then they don't expect a harvest.
That's right.
All right, so the harvest says that you will reap a harvest of righteousness. That's a message all in itself. But let's examine our thinking regarding the things in our lives, our ideas and our plans. Are we seeking to live in a season of wisdom? Or are we content in our situation? I will share something with you. If you're content and comfortable, you will not grow.
That's right.
If you are content and comfortable, you will not be promoted.
That's true.
On your job, in your finances. If you are content, you will not receive additional blessings. You can't grow comfortably. To grow a tree, you've got to dig up some dirt, right?
Come on.
You've got to dig up some dirt and you've got to plant a seed. And then you've got to cover it back up. Then you've got to water it. Then you've got to tend to it. Then you've got to pick the weeds out. You've got to pick the crowd out from around the tree. Anything that's not like the tree has to come out of that dirt, or it's going to choke that seed. Amen? Anything in your life that is not godly needs to come up out of there so you can prosper, so you can blossom, and you can grow into what God has you to be. But you've got to give up some stuff. Are you seeking to live by God's word? Are you seeking to live by his commands? Are you just seeking to discover the destiny that God has for you? Don't you know that God has wonderful things for each and every one of us? Even those that don't think that there is nothing left for us to do, or that there is nothing that God can use me for. Let me tell you, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whoever you've done it was, whatever dirt it was, however dirty it was, it doesn't matter. God can clean it up. His blood washes away every stain, and he can use and will use anybody, but you got to get in his presence. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and I'm done. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, or in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates both day and night. And it says, I'll be a tree planted by. my season. My leaves will not wither, and whatever I do, I'm going to prosper. Be a tree and not a bush. Be planted, be firm, be rooted, be faithful, be diligent, and God will give you. Strong trees aren't the prettiest ones. Willow trees are beautiful trees, aren't they? A good windstorm will blow one down. Because their roots are all exposed on the top side of the soil. And they don't have a firm foundation. But you've got to be like an oak or like a redwood. And it's more like an iceberg view. There is more going down underneath what you can't see than the stuff that you can see. So if your foundation is right, amen, what folks will be able to see is a beautiful, prosperous thing, amen? But they don't know what it took to dig the hole.
Come on.
They don't know what it took to plant the seed. They don't know the sacrifice that it took. But you've got to sacrifice. You can't just do whatever you want to do and go wherever you want to go and live your life like it's your business and expect God to bless you. That is not wise. You have to have godly wisdom. The Lord by wisdom had founded the earth, and by understanding he had established the heavens. And by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, and keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall thy life be unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then you shall walk in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lay down, you won't be afraid. When you lay down and you'll be able to sleep sweet. That's in the Bible. When you get some godly wisdom, you can lay down at night and you don't have to be afraid. When all the hell comes to your mind and all the hurt comes to your mind about what people did to you and what people said to you and how many doors were slammed in your face and how your bank account isn't right and how your job isn't right and how you have a problem with your boss and how your husband won't do right and your wife won't do right and the kids won't do right. But if you get in the wisdom of God, the Bible says that you will have sweet, sweet. Talking about wisdom. Yes. Amen. Wisdom and the Bible is full of it.
Yeah.
I'm reminded though of a hymn. Don't worry, I'm not gonna sing it. But there, you know, when I was licensed, I was given a robe, I was given the Bible, and I was given a hymn book. And you presented me with the hymn book and you said you can't have one without the other.
That's right.
So when you get confused in the Bible, you want to jump behind the "I don't understand." Well, you can sing.
That's right.
And then you can sing a sermon. Amen.
Amen.
No, don't twist it. You can sing a lie too. Mm-hmm. I will trust in the Lord till I die, and then won't do nothing in the house. Mm-hmm. But you can sing a song that says, "Yield not to temptation." The verse of that says, "To him that overcometh, God will give a crown." Through faith, he will conquer. Though oftentimes we are cast down, he who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, for he will carry you through. And if you keep on singing, it says, ask the Savior to help you, to comfort, to strengthen, and to keep you. He is willing to aid you. And he will carry you through. But you gotta come into his presence. Amen. You gotta come into his presence. If you want what God has for you, and you want the blessings that are listed in this book, the Bible says if you get it right, I will open up the windows of heaven. And then what? I'm gonna pour out, not dribble out, but forever.